This morning, I want to lift up a few verses of scripture in Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26, verses 6 through 8. Now, I am on trial because of my hope in the fulfillment of God's promise made to our ancestors. In fact, that is why the 12 tribes of Israel zealously worship God night and day. And they share the same hope I have. Yet, Your Majesty, they accuse me of having this hope. Why does it seem incredible to any of you that God can raise the dead? I read Acts chapter 26, verses 6 through 8 from the Living Translation. And I want to share from the thought this morning, learning from your circumstances. Learning from your circumstances. My brothers and sisters, God speaks to us in at least three primary ways: through His Word, through the Holy Spirit, and through our life's circumstances. Most Christians know at least a little about hearing the voice of God by studying the Bible and by listening to the Holy Spirit in prayer. The circumstances of our lives, however, is often a way God speaks that many Christians do not know as much about. Every believer wants to hear from God. We want to know, is this God? Is this what He is telling me to do? In ministry and in life, it is especially important that we are able to discern the will of God for our own understanding as well as for those to whom we minister. One of my most frequent challenges includes helping someone comprehend what God may or may not be saying to them. The Bible relates many incidents in which God spoke to people in definite ways at definite times, and they knew the voice of God. Sometimes when God speaks to us, we clearly recognize that He has spoken. Other times, however, we wonder if God spoke or if the messages we heard were just thoughts in our imagination. When God spoke to people in Bible times, such as when He appeared to Moses at the burning bush, there was little room for doubt that it was God. However, God didn't always speak in such a spectacular fashion, such as when He, on one occasion, spoke to Elijah in a gentle whisper. We often listen for the grandiose voice of God, and sometimes God speaks that way. More often, however, the voice of God comes through more subtly than that. Often, God speaks through our quiet moments, through other people, and through life's experiences and circumstances. In a crowded world of noise and life's distractions, sometimes we have a hard time understanding what God says. How do we take the circumstances of life, as mixed up and confusing as they can be, and ascertain what God could be saying to us? Indeed, those who follow God want to hear from Him. We want to know what is on God's mind and to know His agenda for our lives. Let us see what we can glean from this morning's text. Our text this morning are not the words of Lazarus, who Jesus raised from the dead. These are the words of Paul, the apostle, as he stood before King Agrippa. He was arrested for preaching salvation through Jesus Christ. Paul had not yet experienced the kind of death Lazarus suffered before Christ resurrected him from the dead. Paul was quite alive in that sense. The resurrection Paul was attesting to is the resurrection of the Spirit, the new life that comes into a believer who confesses Christ as his Savior. I stop by to remind us that confession is difficult. If it were easy, the world would have been converted by now. It is tough to confess your faults and trust Christ to point you in a new direction. For that to happen, you must turn your life's control panel over to Jesus and let Him call the shots. Paul had been held on informal charges against him coming from the Jewish hierarchy, who were determined to silence him for preaching that Christ, the Messiah, had come. A band of 40 men secretly plotted to kill Paul at the first opportunity. Fearing punishment for allowing a Roman to be killed without a trial, Claudius Lysias smuggled Paul out of harm's way and had him taken to Rome. Most of us are familiar with the story of Paul's conversion to Christianity. He was a Roman Jew. After the ascension of Christ, faith in Christ spread like wildfire. And Paul was commissioned to stop the spread. The text tells us that he bound and delivered into prison both men and women who followed the teachings of Jesus Christ. But what we fail to see is how Paul's experience parallels our own journey with Jesus. Paul was standing before King Agrippa, recounting the story of his miraculous conversion on the road to Damascus. He did not need a lawyer because he was an expert at Jewish law and Roman law. He did not need anyone to speak on his behalf because he had Christ. We follow the story of Paul's journey to Jesus today to expose the journey all believers must take. The first thing that this message helps us to see is God uses our circumstances to get our attention. Every believer on this call knows what I'm talking about. You once thought you had it all together, but something happened that knocked you for a loop, and you heard God speak to your heart. Like most sinners, Paul was convinced he was moral and justified. He had been taught by the finest Jewish teachers, and he just knew he was right. But God interrupted his sinful life through a catastrophic event on the road to Damascus. He was blinded by heaven's light and knocked from his horse. And it was then that he heard God's voice. God uses the trying circumstances of our lives to get our attention. He shows up when Satan is showing out. He is in the courtroom when a judge says guilty. He is in the bathroom when the test says pregnant. He's on the job when the pink slip says fired. He is in the bank when the loan officer says declined. He is in the doctor's office when the diagnosis is cancer. We think God waits for catastrophic events to speak to us, but nothing is further from the truth. I have at least a few saints on this worship call who heard God speak to their heart as a child or as a young adult. You did not have to get knocked upside your head to hear the still small voice of God. You may have heard God speak to your heart in the songs at grandma's knee. You may have heard God speak to you in the stillness of the night. You may have heard God speak to you through the Gideon Bible in your hotel room. Whatever your situation, you were saved by circumstance. You were offered a way out of no way. A simple confessed need for Christ. Look what it did for Paul. Paul went from a murderer to a minister. He went from devious to dedicated. He went from callous to caring. Paul went from cunning to consecrated. He went from repulsive to repentant. My brothers and sisters, God wants your attention, and he uses Jesus Christ to get it. Paul later said to Timothy, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of who I am chief. Chief among sinners, but God got his attention. Chief among sinners, but God moved his heart. Chief among sinners, but God threw him a lifeline. Not only does God use our circumstances to get our attention, then God uses our circumstances to teach us lessons. Do not think for one minute that once you become a Christian, life is la-di-da and pie in the sky. If you have been a Christian for more than a day, you ought to say amen. Life's trials are part of our pruning process. Our circumstances are filled with life's lessons. Lessons that cannot be imparted except through experience. Through loneliness, we learn the value of love. Through weakness, we learn how to be strong. Through foolishness, we learn to apply God's wisdom. Through sickness, we learn God is our healer. Through discouragement, we learn there is hope in Jesus. And through death, we learn to hold to God's unchanging hand. The lessons we learn at the hand of God are meant for our good. God does not cause our pain, but he uses our circumstances to teach us how to trust him for our deliverance. Paul learned his share of lessons after his conversion. In a shipwreck, he learned to trust God. In a courtroom, he learned to trust God. In chains, Paul learned to trust God. Jesus said, in this world, you and I will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. It is all about trusting God for our ultimate victory. Paul could have quit. But instead, he said, through our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Paul could have quit, but instead he viewed his trials as light affliction when compared to the more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Paul could have quit, but he pressed toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It reminds me of a song we used to sing at my home church. It did not mean much to me when I was young, but with every challenging year that passes, it takes on new meaning. It's a simple song, but it's full of truth. It says, I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. You brought me. Yes, you brought me. You brought me. You brought me a mighty long way. If you feel like I feel this morning, you ought to shout hallelujah, because God uses our circumstances to get our attention. God uses our circumstances to teach us lessons. And I'm almost done when I said that God uses our circumstances to make us witnesses. My brothers and sisters, you cannot tell what you do not know. You cannot convince anyone of what Christ can do unless he has done something for you. But here's the beauty of your newfound wisdom. Once you know Christ, you naturally want to tell what you know about Christ. It's like a fire shut up in your bones. You can't keep it to yourself. And with each life lesson learned, there's an opportunity to add to your conversion story. The Jewish hierarchy were offended by the claim of Christ's resurrection and made false accusations against Paul. But I like how Tertullus described Paul to Governor Felix. Tertullus, a Jewish orator, said, "We have found this man a pestilence fellow, a mover, a ringleader." Tertullus had no idea how honorable his accusations were, for the Jews said the same things about Jesus. And when they call you what they call Jesus, you know you are doing something right. God prepared Paul to be a witness for Christ. He was dragged from court to court, from city to city, and each time he professed his innocence. Finally, he asked that they would bring him to Caesar Augustus for resolution. When King Agrippa heard that, he said, "I want to meet this man." And this was God's plan all along. Once more, Paul recounted his testimony that he himself had heard the voice of the resurrected Christ. Festus yelled at Paul, accusing him of going mad. That is when Paul turned to King Agrippa and said, "Does it seem incredible to you that God can bring men back to life again?" King Agrippa's response was, "You almost persuaded me to become a Christian." My brothers and sisters, that's the bottom line. You have to believe to be a Christian. Almost doesn't count. almost ain't good enough. I know that's not good English, but it's good gospel. Almost only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades. You must confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, and you shall be saved. Of all the apostles of Jesus Christ, there was none more prepared to spread the gospel. For almost 60 years, Paul traversed the known world, delivering the gospel message to all who would hear him. And his story was the same. He arose. Paul's wisdom came by way of the miraculous mercy of Christ, who said, "And if I be lifted from the earth, I will draw all men unto me." Christ is the only way to salvation. He came to show us the way. He donned the robe of human flesh, but now he wears a robe in glory. He experienced the pains of hunger, but now he is the bread of life. He suffered the trauma of thirst, but now he is living water. He was whipped as a seditionist, but now he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He was crucified as a blasphemer, but now he is the author and finisher of your faith and mine. Will you be saved through your circumstances? What will you learn from your circumstances? How far will you go to separate yourself from God before you finally hear his voice? Christ is calling you from trouble to triumph. He is calling you from stubbornness to repentance. He is calling you from burdens to blessings. He is calling you from sin to salvation. The message of God for the people of God: praise be to God. Understanding that we can learn from life's circumstances. Maybe there's someone on this worship call this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior. I want to extend that invitation to you through the power of prayer and ask that you would repeat this prayer with me. Dear Lord, I acknowledge that you, Jesus, are the Son of God. I believe that you died on the cross, that your blood was shed for my sins, and that you arose from the grave and conquered death. I understand that I was born a sinner and that I have sinned by disobeying your commandments. I ask you to forgive me for these sins. Please change my heart to be like yours, loving, full of forgiveness. Help me to obey your teachings as recorded in the Bible. Bring people who can help me on this new path. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. Thank you for saving me from death and giving me new life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you believe this prayer that you just prayed by faith, you are saved. If you have any further questions about this journey with Christ, about accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, please feel free to contact myself or any of our deacons or any of our members. God bless you.